So I'll begin the talk. And I'm coming in just a page or two after the beginning of this talk. The talk is a translation of a teaching that was given by Lungpur Liem during a ceremony of going forth, I guess taking a novice ordination, or either novice or monastic ordination at Wat Nong Pumpon in 2003. Now I will tell you the basic meditation objects as a means for you to train for liberation from the defilements. They are given in Pali just in the same way as the teachers of old have been passing them down for many generations. Please repeat after me. Kesa, Loma, Naka, Danta, Tacho, Tacho, Danta, Naka, Loma, Kesa. And these are hair of the head, hair of the body, nails, teeth, and skin. These meditation objects the Buddha called the root meditation objects. They provide a way for our mind to experience the fading away of the cravings and desires that stain our minds. It is normal that the ordinary unenlightened being understands the experience of desires in a personal way. The Buddha wanted us to see desires as non-self, as non-personal, and to realize that there is no being there, just the existence of elements, material form that behaves according to the laws of nature and relies on its environment being in balance. Then things can come into being. Yet this doesn't mean that they are stable. They exist in such a way that there is change and alteration all the time. They are not in a condition that permanently stays the same. There needs to be arising, existing, and ceasing. This way of being is what we call existence, according to the laws of nature. Investigating these root meditation objects leads us to seeing instability, non-sustainability, and non-self, a way of being that arises, exists, and ceases. This weakens our desires, our grasping onto and giving importance to the self. When the assumption of the self has weakened, our mental reactions that come from having to interact with other people in the world will also be weakened, regardless of the kind of situation that we are in. It is one where we are accepted and receive praise, we won't feel happy about it. And in a situation where we are blamed, we won't feel hurt. Not having feelings of either liking or disliking will allow us to understand ourselves better. Liking and disliking are what is called worldly dhammas, the qualities that rule over those people who still have dust in their eyes, average unenlightened beings that are still immature. Worldly people will see these mind states as something worth wishing for, but we as practitioners who aspire to lessen the desires staining our minds, we reflect on seeing such states as merely an experience of feelings that arise, stay for a while, and then cease, both pleasant and unpleasant feelings, sukha vedana and dukkha vedana. The Buddha called happiness somanasa, which is considered a mode of sukha vedana, and sadness domanasa, which is a mode of dukkha vedana. Dukkha and sukha are expressions of reality that cause emotions to arise. The Buddha taught us to focus our minds on them and know any feeling as being simply a feeling. The emotions of liking or disliking we know as simply feelings. There is nothing that could be firmly established and enduring, lasting or permanent. All these are just states of mind that, after having arisen, will naturally have to cease. By understanding our experiences like this, we won't get lost thinking this is good or this is bad. These kinds of thoughts are just attributes of delusion and wrong view, nothing else. And so the Buddha taught us to focus and reflect on them, seeing them as namadhamma, or phenomena of the mind. They're being born, existing, and passing away. There is no need for one to be a slave of these processes, a slave of the world, or a slave of the defilements of pleasant and unpleasant feelings. One should see that these processes always imply a feeling that something is lacking. They are of the kind that one can say is never full, that doesn't know the point when there's enough, just like a flame that can never get enough fuel. Focusing on these processes as simply arising, existing, and passing away, we are able to turn ourselves away from them. We can get out of the situation, not becoming slaves of desires or tanha, craving. Generally, tanha is a feeling that is coupled with dukkha, a feeling that is difficult to bear with, a feeling of non-freedom. We need to investigate these feelings. And this will bring us to experience peace of mind, peace from pleasant and unpleasant feeling. We can live like samanas then, like peaceful ones. Let us take these meditation objects and develop them, apply them and bring them to life, so that we know this world. Knowing the world, we know this reality, and what our human birth is about. Being a true human being means being somebody who possesses a mind that goes beyond the nature of the world. Let us take this as our attitude in meditation, helping ourselves work towards freedom from the power of delusion, wrong view, and unwholesome mind states, so that we can attain a state of mind that is pure and clean, see the usefulness of our being born as a human being and the practice of Dhamma, and experience how beneficial it is to relate to ourselves in the correct and appropriate way. Now I will hand the yellow robes to you for you to go and put them on. Then you can come in again and take the precepts, so that the ceremony of going forth will be complete. So Longpo gives them the robes, they go and change, and after the 10 precepts, the talk continues. From now on, being novices, it is your duty to correct and develop yourself. You need to constantly recollect that now you belong to a different group than the householders and the common people in the world. Here, we are leading our lives in order to see the danger and disadvantages of samsara, the round of death and rebirth. It is our obligation to make the qualities of a samana arise in us, being somebody whose ways of life are peaceful. We develop peaceful bodily conduct. Our body, each and every part of it, should not be used in the manner of a fool. Our conduct needs to be that of a wise man. That means to have humility, an attitude of respect, and live in a subordinate way, not getting carried away with our sense of self. One can say, guarding one's body. Likewise, our speech also needs to be guarded, as it can be the source of all kinds of good and bad things. We need to know how to use speech in a good way. If our speech is grounded in humility, it won't get us into trouble. In our practice, we need to keep observing ourselves for the sake of protection, in every form, both in our bodily and verbal conduct, applying mindfulness and keeping ourselves within the standards of the monastic training. In this way, we won't get into confusion or low and vulgar mind states. Low-mindedness is a trait of worldly beings that are capable of doing all kinds of bad things or behaving in degenerate ways. They are following the ways of the unwholesome, anger, desire, and delusion. Our becoming samanas should gradually give rise to changes in a good direction. Having taken up the training, we will have to practice the lifestyle of one who sees how life can be beneficial. We will have to give great attention to ourselves, developing the qualities of honesty and straightforwardness in our minds. We should maintain good ethical conduct and possess a sense of shame towards doing bad. When one possesses a sense of shame towards bad actions, one will also show fear, or otapa, and be cautious, because one sees that bad deeds won't lead to freedom. These are some things to keep in mind when we start training ourselves. We follow the intention to keep sila and develop purity of heart. Sila, in fact, means purity. It is the intention of loving kindness and friendliness, or metta, or the intention to respect the rights of other people, being considerate in whatever one does. We should start relating to our environment in a way that examines and investigates it for the sake of seeking Satchadhamma, the truth of reality. These are some things that you need to develop an understanding of and educate yourselves in. Another aspect is how we use our faculties for communicating and relating to the world. We have got eyes, ears, a nose, a tongue, a sense of touch, and a mind. Having eyes, we need to know how to guard them. These eyes we have can give rise to both good and evil. The same is true for the ears, and on. If there is both good and evil, we need the skills to differentiate and choose what is good. For example, if the eye sees something that causes feelings of getting carried away by emotions or desire, we need to know how to control ourselves. If this happens, we need to use meditation techniques such as investigating the body. Or we contemplate our feelings in relation to the two faces of the worldly dhammas, those wished-for and unwished-for phenomena. We see them as things that simply arise and cease. They are merely temporary states of existence, and the qualities of stability and durability cannot be found within them. This is why the Buddha warns us to be cautious and restrained whenever the eye sees a form, the ear hears a sound, the nose smells an odor, the tongue tastes a flavor, the body senses something touching it, or there are thoughts arising in the mind. He advises us to have mindfulness and not be careless, not allowing experiences to come up that we don't filter wisely. This is another aspect in which you'll have to train in as samanas. You constantly need to be filtering. In our training, there is a topic of how to relate to the requisites of a monk, robes, food, dwelling places, and medicines, and the necessities of life. Following the example of the enlightened beings, we live as somebody who is content and has few wishes. We walk the safe path of those who dwell in states of mind that are beyond the world. The way to practice with regards to our requisites is by knowing what is enough. If we get a little, that's enough. If we get a lot, that's enough. Even if we don't get anything at all, that's enough. We train to become somebody who always has enough. That means somebody who is happy with whatever comes. In this way, our monastic life will be free from worries about these things. We have all the opportunity to continue with our studies without obstructions, educating and observing ourselves further, supported simply by peace and seclusion. We rely on all the opportunities given to us in this lifestyle. We really don't have to bother about anything else. Even concerning the world and society, we don't have to worry. We aren't living in conflict with anybody. We are living for the sake of creating benefits for ourselves and others. When we are not in conflict with others, qualities arise in us that others find acceptable. This is our task. You will always need to put forth effort in this practice. It is the quality of diligence that will enable us to experience perfection in ourselves. Perfection means to be completely mature, ready, and prepared. Complete preparedness means that there are no longer any problems. This is the case with somebody whose mind is fully enlightened and awake, somebody who has already passed through their shining night of prosperity. And that's a reference to the Patekaratha Sutta, a famous teaching of the Buddha. When there is no more darkness, and there are no more feelings of being oppressed and irritated. This is a state of being at ease, one that permeates one's mind and in one's heart feels fresh and cool. We need to apply ourselves diligently to our tasks. This is called practice. We strive to make the most of our lives. Our lives are really very short, and a chance like this is truly rare. We don't have all that much time. The Buddha compared us to dewdrops being dried out by the sun, or to cattle being led to the slaughter. It really is like this. Time keeps passing, but it doesn't just merely pass. The fact that our bodily form keeps deteriorating makes itself known with every passing moment. It is possible that the hair on top of our head starts falling out, or our teeth that once had been strong start to become loose. Our eyesight that used to be clear and bright may become feeble, and our ears that once had been able to hear well and clearly may not be able to even locate where sounds are coming from anymore. Sometimes a noise comes from the north, but we turn our head to the south. We start to make more and more mistakes. As life passes, our behavior undergoes changes, so we need to understand these processes of life. We have to be aware that time passes and see the value of inclining ourselves towards pure and peaceful states of mind, unconfused and with the heart at ease. Living without confusion is all we need for being at ease. We can't be well when there is chaos. When the powers of defilements and desires are burning us, we become heated up and can't find peace. We are taken by force to become slaves of our desires. We think that this thing is good, or that thing is better, or the best, and will bring us some happiness. There is no end in sight. The Buddha taught us to see the danger in thinking this way. Don't get bound up with taking desires as something positive. They are poison. If we swallow such a substance, it will harm us and we won't feel well. We'll be in deep trouble and get all frantic, being burned alive by dukkha. Following our desires will bring about our downfall instead of giving us a chance to experience the Supreme. We sink into an inferior position and into disastrous situations. This is the opposite of the path of progress in our development. It isn't good. Now that you have the opportunity, bring up the motivation for training continually. Walk on the path that the Buddha pointed out. This path is what is meant by right practice. Within the Buddhist path lies full perfection, the training in sila, the training in mind, and the training in wisdom. Don't lead your life like they do out in the world. Their lives keep following the stream of delusion. If pleasant feelings arise, they are happy about it. If unpleasant feelings arise, they become sad. They eagerly pursue the pleasant feelings and hate the unpleasant ones and try to do away with them. This seems unworthy. Just think about it. We human beings shouldn't get lost in our delusions to such an extent. We should know better. Then things will be to our advantage. So, be determined and motivated, all of you, to take up these duties in the name of being a samana. Do this as if your monastic life was a jetty, a place of reverence and devotion that is worthy of respect. Keep on fulfilling your duties in this way. Taking this opportunity to fulfill your obligations, we become an example and a guide for others, somebody who brings benefit and qualities useful for future times. So let all of us be motivated and determined in our hearts and minds. May every one of us fulfill these duties of a samana in a complete and perfect way. Amen.